thank you for having us this morning. What an honor to be here. The church in Horinsk, Siberia sends their greetings, their love, and their thanks for the many prayers, and believe it or not, for sending us all the way out to Siberia. Yeah?
Yes.
I want to thank you for the cold weather. I know you all don't like it. I get that, but thank you. This is great weather.
It's like a Siberian night.
Yeah.
So, summer night, that is. Okay, as you're aware, we live in a small village in the middle of Siberia, where that arrow is. It's just a small little dot. It's a village of about 8,500 people. We're the first Americans ever to live there, first Americans ever to get registered there. The arrow doesn't show up too well, does it? Here you go, we have a pointer.
This is dangerous.
Okay, it's about right there. Is that better? I know, these things are wild. I like that.
All right, quickly.
Okay, sorry. So sorry. I could get distracted really easy. Okay, so the village we live in, 8,500 people, first Americans ever to live there. In the beginning, we were kind of a novelty. We have Americans that live here. And now it's like, oh yeah, the Americans, yeah, we have them. We have Chinese too. So it's like we kind of intermingled in that. We got to the community, and the law is in Russia, when you arrive somewhere, you have 3 days to register. So I don't know how it's going to work for everyone going to Sochi. Anybody going to Sochi here? There was a security contractor that works for the U.S. government, and it had two words to say about going to Sochi. Don't go. I mean, I'll go if anybody got me tickets. So we go to the passport control, and I give them our paperwork because we have 3 days to register. He says, well, come back tomorrow. Okay. No, he took the papers, and I came back the next day. And he says, oh, you came back. Come back tomorrow. I said, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. So I came back the next day and I said, hi, I'm here. He goes, oh yeah, you came back today. Well, come back tomorrow. And I said, don't you have 3 days under law to register me? He goes, yeah, come back tomorrow. And I said, okay. Day four, I go back in. He goes, oh, you're back here again. I'm still not registered. He still has our passports. So he goes, come back tomorrow. Okay, day five I go in. And he says to me, he goes, you know, you're not like the Chinese. And I didn't know what he meant. But later on, a friend of mine found out what he meant. When the Chinese get their passports and they hand them in, they put a little bit of money in the passport. And they hand the passport with the money over to the police, and they know what to do right away. They get their little stamp. You're stamped, you're good. Yeah. We didn't do that. And he told me, we're not like the Chinese. I thought he meant we look different. So day five, we finally get our passports with the stamp in it. And I said, are we going to be fined? He goes, no, you're good. Go ahead out of here.
So thank you for your prayers on that.
Thank you for your prayers because we didn't know. They really actually could have fined us. I've been fined by the Russian passport control office one time for outstaying our visas. Okay, we had given our visas to them to register. Again, they had 3 days to register. 6 weeks later, they gave us our passports back. We only had a 30-day visa. 30-day visa. They had our passports. So here he is. I'm in his office. He's holding our passports, mine and Laura's and our two boys. And he goes, yeah, here's your passports. But before I give them to you, I need you to write out why you outstayed your visa. And I said, why? Okay, so you want me to write that you held my passport for 2 weeks past my stay? You write that, you'll never get your passport back. So I said, well, why don't you tell me what it is you want me to write? And he says, well, I need you to write that you outstayed your visa for 2 weeks. I said, but I didn't. Yes, you did. So we had to write. We outstayed our visas for 2 weeks. It's an interesting country to live in. I think Winston Churchill described it as an enigma wrapped inside of a riddle.
Something like that.
Or a riddle wrapped inside of an enigma. Or
that's Russia.
It's where we live.
I'll do this. A few more facts before we go to our village. We are so far away from the nearest Starbucks and McDonald's and any of that fast food stuff, it would take us 2.5 days by train to the nearest Starbucks, which happens to not be in Russia. It's in Beijing, China, which is south of us. So
if you like Starbucks and you come to visit us, you have to bring your own.
You have to bring your own, that's right.
Or you can mail us Starbucks because we really like Starbucks.
Okay. He puts a pitch in for coffee every chance he gets. I don't know.
And not decaf like you serve here. Okay? That is cruel. Pastor Kip needs regular coffee here. He does 3 services a day. Okay, just helping you out.
Oh, my. Okay, moving along. We are 19 hours from the closest U.S. city.
By
airplane. I don't have a clue how long it would take by boat. He keeps trying to get me to go by boat. No way.
Merchant ship.
No.
Okay. No, the ladies don't like this. The guys are going, yeah.
Okay, moving right along. We have temperatures as low as minus 54 that we have seen. And we're hoping that it'll only be minus 40 this year, but I'm not sure. It's not bad right now. What, minus 11 this morning?
No, 23.
I'm sorry, minus 23 Fahrenheit this morning in Siberia. We've been in this village unofficially since 1999. We did a summer camp, and then we had some people from a church in the city that went back and forth and did monthly Bible study, and then it grew into a weekly Bible study. Come 2010, we are back in that area again, and we felt that the Lord really needed us in there to live permanently, or as long as the government would let us. So we moved in 2010. It's been a blessing. We have a small church. Oh, minus 40, sorry. Have a small church of about 40 people,
okay.
And he's going to go back to minus 40.
Okay, everyone wants to see that. That's not fake, okay? Okay, here we
go. Go right ahead.
Okay, like Omar said, we have actually planted a church. This is the Joyful News Church of Hornetsk. We're about 30 to 40 people worship every week. We have men's Bible studies going on. Well, we only have 2 men believers in the village, but we have other men who are looking and coming now. So that's a prayer request. If you're writing them down, we're giving these little tidbits as we go, so you can pray for us. Pray for more men. The fence that you see right there was designed by our son Corey when he was out in 2009. We wanted something unique. We wanted something that would stand out. People come by and they go, you have that different fence on that street over there, don't you? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, we know where you are.
Well, we painted it red, which is really unusual because they only had, under communism, 2 kinds of paint, blue and green.
Oh, they had green and blue.
And so we decided to step outside the box and paint it red. So we get lots of attention for a lot of other reasons as well. This is the inside of our facility, and we don't have central heat. We have a little stove.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So bless Kevin.
In November, when I was back and I was preaching that Sunday service, I walked from our house to church, which is, it's about a mile and a half. But I wanted to walk. It wasn't that cold. It was about 5 below 0. And Laura conveniently hurt her leg that morning and said, you know, I'll wait for our friend to pick us up. Wimpy, okay? It's 5 below is not that cold. So I walk into church. When I get there, I have to go out to the wood pile and pick up this big pile of wood and bring it in, because if we don't heat it and keep wood going, we're going to get cold. So who last night stoked the fire? Oh, you did. Yeah. And if you didn't, would you freeze? Oh, okay, so that's, nope, that's the first one yet. So you're in Siberian training. So that's good. No way. So you notice there, this is, we have one room there, behind that's a kitchen. What you won't find in our church is a bathroom.
No.
No, we have an outhouse.
Yeah.
Out in the back of the property, and we paint it every year, so it looks nice. We actually put light in it. And people said, well, why would you put light in the outhouse?
I don't want to fall in the hole. I don't know about you. I don't want to fall in the hole.
It's something this big is not made to be dark. Okay? It's just, and there is no seat. It's just a hole.
It's too cold for seats.
And little boys, okay, if you know little boys.
Okay, don't go there.
Okay, don't go there. Okay, they know little boys. They have grandkids.
Their aim is bad?
Their aim is bad. That's one way to say it. Okay, being the first registered church in the area has come with a little bit of persecution. The area we live in is very strong Buddhist. The Buddhists have a very big presence. If we read the Old Testament, it says you look up onto the hills and you need to tear down the higher places of worship. They're all over in our region being built by the Buddhists around there. About 6 miles from where we live, there was a mission base. A mission family moved there in 1830. So they had it a lot rougher than we did. It took us 5.5 days by train from Moscow. It took them 6 months by horse to get to the region where we live in. 6 months. So they went in and they built a school. They translated the Bible back in the 1830s. And after his wife passed away and some of their children died there, They left, but what's left is the foundation of this, and there's been the group of Christian churches in the area want to put a monument there. So at one point, we've had a cross like about this big on the property. Well, I took Laura and a couple of people over to see it that were visiting us, and we got there, the cross was gone. We found out later that it had been taken down and used for firewood from somebody. But there were three Buddhists, and they were building about from where the cross was, about to where the sound booth is. They were building a prayer area for the Buddhists, where they would come and walk around and spin the little prayer drum and thing. Well, as we were there, he walks over to me with two other guys. One of them was about my height. The other two were a little bit bigger. And Laura knew something was wrong when literally the guy got this close to my face. And she looked at my face, and I wasn't smiling. And he looks at me, and he says, "Are you a Christian?" We prayed a long time ago, and we've never been ones to shy away from, "Yes, we're Christian." And I said, "Yeah, we are." He goes, "We don't like you. We don't need you. You are not wanted here." He goes, "If you ever come back here, the only way you're leaving is in an ambulance." And I looked at him, and I kind of said, "So you're really not happy about me being here, are you?" That didn't go very well. At that, he picks up a brick, and he says, "I could destroy your car right now with this brick." And I said, "Yeah, you could. It's sitting right over there. Go ahead." And you wouldn't care if I took away, messed up your car? I said, "I don't care. It's just metal." I said, "We didn't come here to talk to cars. We came here to talk to people." I said, and Jesus, he would get me another car anyhow. He goes, "Oh, you're talking about Jesus." He didn't like us being there. So that's not far from our neighborhood. And he said never to come back. We've been invited by the local community there to come back into that area. So when we go back, we're going to take our church and the little church that we're working with in the next community over, and we're probably going to do an outreach there and do some sort of English camp. And we just need to pray that that guy is not there.
We need to pray that he is there, because we do have hope.
Okay, wait. He was drunk when he was saying this all to me. So there's a chance he doesn't remember any of that.
I don't know. The village work, after being there, believe it or not, we've been there going on, this is year 18, and 18 years ago we left in January to go to Siberia. It wasn't the biggest, brightest moment, but it worked okay. We've worked in cities, and we've worked in Moscow, and now we've gone back to this area, and this is really difficult. We were very surprised. And I think it's because we have such a small amount of people, and you have these two religions that are fighting for space. And if you're Russian looking like us, then you're Orthodox. If you're Buddhist and you look like the Asian people that live in our area, they do their thing, and everybody just kind of does their own thing. And it's been very difficult to reach those people because it's so ingrained in them. Whether they know what they believe, it's just ingrained in them. And so we've been blessed to have people come and be discipled. And this young lady is a dear friend of mine. She's stepped up to the plate and decided that she would do the youth group so that we could go back and forth this past year. And she's in her late 20s, and she said, I think I can do the youth group. I said, all right. I thought that would be the easy part. And after a few months, we get a phone call. We called her, and she said, this is really hard. And I said, but you're so young, you're so close to their age. She said, they're really young. I don't understand these kids. This is really hard. And I said, I feel like their grandmother. I know exactly what you're talking about. So she's been a huge blessing to us. And I know we've asked in the past, but please keep her in prayer. She's a single mom. She lives in a condemned building because she can't work, can't find work. And the government has given her a space that is just horrible. She's looking to do something better. We keep praying that something will come along that she can move into. She's just, like many of the ladies in our church, has horrendous stories. And we just thank you for your prayers that she would grow in her knowledge of the Lord, take it to her family members who are all alcoholics, and be bold and not be afraid.
Well, real quick, just where she came from, when she was pregnant with her daughter, which now I've kind of adopted her little daughter as our little granddaughter, so it's given me practice. Her brother was drinking with her husband, and her brother killed her husband. And her brother has since done 8 years in, 6 years in jail for murdering her brother. But she has forgiven him. She was actually able to forgive her brother for doing that. And she said it's only by Jesus' power that she was able to do that. We've helped her work through some of these things, and now she's working with this group of kids right here. She's working with the youth group in the village, and God is using her. So it doesn't matter what your testimony is, what your background is, where you've come from. God can use each and every one of you in some capacity. Okay, quick question. This is one of those, and I know Pastor Kip does this. It's one of these interactive type questions. Anybody can answer except Corey. Okay, who has been to Siberia? Raise your hand. Anybody been to Siberia?
Anybody want to go?
Anybody want to go to Siberia? Okay, but you know what? The answer to that question is everyone in here has been to Siberia. Everyone in here. When you take this little green card and you fill it out, you may think all you're doing is sending your money. You're not. You're sending my wife and I, and years ago you were sending our boys with us over to Siberia. The family that we talked to this morning from Ireland, you're supporting the work over there. In heaven, you're going to have people come up to you and say, thank you for sending us to Siberia. That sounds weird, but people will thank you for that, because through this ministry that we have all been involved in, lives have changed. We have story upon story. Laura said I have stories enough to fill. And Pastor, I have till 4 o'clock, right? 3:30. Okay. Something's happening at 3, so we'll be done by 2:59 is some of the stories that I have. But don't ever think that you are not going to Siberia, because you as a church have been behind us, and we found it just this week. Article in the paper that was done in 1995 when our boys were about this tall. Alan Beaver was here, and he was holding up the mission bucket, the big glass one, the mission bank. And Jack was on that, but that was done in the front page of the local paper in 1995. And that's how many years you all have been involved in the ministry in Siberia.
Thank you. 18 years ago, this verse spoke really deep to my heart, and I wanted to share this morning. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. We just want to say thank you for sending us. It's been a blessing. We don't know how many more years God's going to keep us there. It's exciting. It's a challenge, but it's exciting. And we wanted to say one last huge thank you for praying for our son, and I'm going to let you end with that today.
Many of you know you've been praying for us. We've had lots of people ask. Corey, can you stand up one more time, please? This is our youngest son, Corey. Thanks for coming. He was injured in the Army in pre-deployment training going to Afghanistan. That was in February of 2011. December of 13, he finally had his first surgery. The government wheels kind of worked really slow, but now the Veterans Administration has service-connected his injuries, so they're kicking in. We've got appointments. In fact, when's Monday?
Tomorrow.
We have appointment tomorrow at the VA in St. Petersburg. So we thank you for your prayers. It takes a long time, but you know, he's only one veteran. When he handed in his packet at the Veterans Administration, he was one of 30,000 that St. Petersburg was looking at for benefits and for helping them. So if you think about it, pray for your veterans. And I know the only way that we've gotten the service and the quickness that we have is through prayers of the saints like you. Somebody said the other day, well, he's got to file some more papers, and they've told him it's going to take 4 to 6 months. And they looked at Corey and they said, Corey, God answers your prayers in like 4 weeks. So thank you for your prayers, and we have definitely seen answers to those. There was a question. We have time for one question? Yes, sir. Did you have a question? Well, how do we ever know when we're going to be safe? Okay, I'll tell you about another story. Before we went to Siberia, I used to do street evangelism in Sarasota. I was down there on a Friday night, and I was walking down. It was in the evening, Sarasota. You think it's pretty safe, a bunch of tourists there and all this. And I was handing out Bible tracts and sharing with people, and I wound up meeting a young guy. He was probably 24, 25, and he was, I don't know what he was high on. I started talking to him, and about 30 seconds later, he pulls out a knife and puts a knife right under my chin. Whoa. And that was in Sarasota. Okay? It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter where we share the gospel. There's always going to be opposition. It's kind of like Stonewall Jackson said. Anybody ever see the movie Gods and Generals? That's a good, you don't have to admit it. I like the movie. It was great. And he says, you know, when it's our time to go, it's going to be our time to go. If God wants to take me in the middle of Siberia home, I'm going to be in a much better place than where I am now. Not that I don't like being here in Homosassa with you guys, But it's nothing like heaven's going to be. We try and hold on so tight to this earth that we see that we forget heaven is a much better place. And if we remember that, then we won't be afraid to share the gospel with other people as we meet and be embarrassed if they think we're strange or weird. We've been called strange and weird and fanatical, and I've been spit on before. I've been told to leave the country. In Mongolia, the guy told us, he said, at the Russian embassy, I could type in this computer right now and you would never, never step foot on the Russian soil again. And I did one of those quick Nehemiah prayers and I said, Lord, help me say something here that would help. And you know what I said to him? I said, well, how would I get my dog? I don't know where that came from. And he goes, what kind of dog do you have? So for 30 minutes, I'm talking to him about my dog. And he goes, well, here is a visa for you, but I don't never want to see you for visas again. I'm like, okay, I'm good with that. So it doesn't matter where we go. If we're going in God's power and with the Lord is with us, he'll protect us.
Thank you so much. Lord bless you.